Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real. I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
That did something.
Yeah, that did something.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. It is Season 5, Episode 22, or Nerdcast Episode 105, as I prefer. I think it's time to do it. and since Iggy's not here to gainsay me, I say it's Episode 105. So,
that's right.
Welcome
we
back.
Do what we want.
It is Nerdcast time. I'm your host tonight, Tyler, because Iggy is not here, which is awesome. So I can say whatever I want. Can't stop.
Oh, Lord.
Obviously, as you can hear, we're also joined by our good friends, Mr. Adair.
Hello. Hello. Hi.
And Aaron Lay.
That's me. Hi.
So what's going on, guys? How was your guys' Thanksgiving?
You know, I had delicious food. No shoe fly pie, which is an abomination, but it was delicious. How about you? What'd you guys do?
Ate a lot. Then
ate what?
Then restarted. We did a mostly vegan feast. We went over to some friend's house, and so we took a bunch of vegan sides and a tofurkey for my lovely wife, and we made mashed potato stuffing, like casserole thing. That was pretty good, both regular and vegan mashed potatoes. And we also had a green bean casserole, some rolls, and a chocolate cake. And ate pretty much all of it and felt really gross. And then ate some more of it and then went to bed and then got up the next day and finished some more. And then, so Black Friday, we didn't do any shopping, but we have a Hastings here in town, which I didn't know, but they do movie rentals. I mean, I guess I knew they did movie rentals. I just haven't rented a movie in forever, but apparently they do a 10 movie rental free thing on Black Friday. So some of our friends went and rented 10 free movies and we just watched a bunch of movies and ate more food. I'm fairly disgusted in myself. Also pretty proud. Like there's a little bit of both there. Tyler.
About the same. Ate food, all the things that are the things that I listed, you know, turkey, ham, mashed potatoes, gravy, dinner roll, green bean casserole, some pies. Or some banana cream pie.
You mean some whipped cream that happened to have pie?
No, I skipped the pumpkin pie. There was a banana cream pie that I got down on. There was this like Oreo pudding salad thing that was pretty good, and then there was a Reese's pie. Basically, it was basically like peanut butter cheesecake. It was pretty amazing.
Sounds real good. Tell us more.
There was some...
I need you to paint me a word picture about this.
There were some sweet potatoes. There were some corn, obviously. Corn, green beans, mashed potatoes, gravy, turkey, ham, rolls. All the things you want at a Thanksgiving dinner.
Cool.
Were spoken for and watched football and then ate more and played cards and took money from my family members.
You gamble at Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Gamble at all the family gatherings.
Wow. That's crazy. Is that like a normal tradition in America?
Well, I don't know. It is that side of the family's thing. I mean, it's not like real money. It's like we'll sit and play rounds of games like 31 and stuff, and everyone throws in a buck, and then whoever wins, you know, takes everyone's single dollar bill. But I made like 20 bucks.
Dude, that's pretty good. On the Thanksgiving. Gosh, I think I've been eating leftovers every day since Thanksgiving.
Lucky.
Multiple times a day. Well, you know how, like, let's say you come from a really big family and you're not used to just having Thanksgiving with, like, five or six because, you know, you're an adult and people are different places. So we still have the same amount of food for about 30 people, even though there were only 5 of us. I guess at home with most of it.
Yeah, that's how my parents both come from large families. And so when they got married and started cooking, like, oh yeah, let's just make some potatoes. And they'd make 10 pounds of potatoes because they both come from large families. And then they'd be done and be like, why do we have 10 pounds of potatoes? Because that's just what you did. And this, we don't make smaller portions. We just make all of them. Figure it out from there.
So,
did you guys get anything good for Black Friday? I didn't shop, but did you guys shop?
I did. Can I share? I'm excited.
Please.
I just jumped right in. You guys don't give a crap, but I bought a bunch of patterns. I went to Joann's fabric store. I know you don't care, but I got...
Why did I ask a cosplayer what you did on Black Friday? What the heck is wrong with me?
I got $100 of patterns. Like, I'm talking like super amazing like lingerie patterns, super amazing like superhero patterns, like super amazing old-timey like cocktail dresses. And damn, I got them for... like there's $100 worth of patterns for $5. Yeah.
Now, when you say patterns, that's like the pattern on the fabric itself, or are you talking about is a pattern something particular that I don't know that's like fancy cloth type of thing?
Wow. Like, is it a set piece? I am so glad you asked that, Adam.
Is it a set piece of fabric or what?
No, I've never been more excited to talk on the Nerdcast than I am right at this moment. So a pattern, for those of you who don't know, is traditionally paper. It's, you buy like folded up paper that has the pattern that you're going to lay on top of the fabric that you desire. You cut out the pattern, you lay the pattern on the fabric, then you cut the fabric out, and then you follow the instructions that are included in the pattern to put all the pieces together correctly. It's like fucking rocket science.
Okay, so you bought basically it's like paint by numbers except for fabric.
It's a little more complicated.
Like they tell you exactly what to do and you do it. That's
okay. What's the most
is that a pattern?
Have you ever like built
is it like a model?
It's more like a model, but it's pretty intense.
Okay. So run me through some of those things you got again. So you got like a cocktail dress pattern.
Okay.
You said superhero pattern. What does that entail? Like how to build a cape?
Like, no. Capes, you don't even, I mean, you make your own pattern when you're making a cape. It does include the cape though. And it has like boot covers and it has, it has two different versions of bodysuits. Like, so I need to make another cat suit because in the past I've just bought cat suits and altered them. But here's the thing about buying cat suits for like a Catwoman costume. They're all designed for sex. So like, it's really hard to find a good cat suit that doesn't have a zipper over the ass. Like, which I've thought about getting because then I can just unzip to go to the bathroom and I don't have to like take off my corset and, you know, take off the whole top and pull it down, you know, but it looks a little bit weird. Sometime when you guys are walking around at conventions and you see people dressed in black cat suits, the black pleather ones, see if there's a zipper on the ass.
I'm going to go ahead and not do that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not supposed to stare at their asses.
It's not a staring.
Can you just turn it just right? Oh, nope. Yep. Zipper on the ass. Thank you.
Your suit's made for sex. I got to go now.
It's a thing. But yeah, I got a bunch of patterns.
Yeah. Okay.
And like
now I know what that is.
The lingerie pattern that I bought isn't like what you think it is. It's not like bra pattern and like underwear. It's like a full-on slip that goes underneath like a gown and like a corset top, but I'm going to use it to make the actual gown. So it's like a floor length thing that goes in your dress. Okay, you guys, seriously, everybody's bored. Let's move on. Let's talk about like Civil War.
Well, that would be some big news. Yes. So there's a trailer, which I hadn't bothered to watch until about 10 minutes ago. For Captain America's Civil War, right? Is that the official name of it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I always get that wrong. I always thought Civil War was going to be an Avengers movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to obviously
basically all of the Avengers. Right.
Yeah.
It just gets, I guess, from Cap's focus.
Yeah. It's definitely Cap-centric, and he's definitely driving the line. But, I mean, we saw everyone from – trailers got everyone from Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Iron Man, War Machine. Obviously, what was I going to say? Bucky / Winter Soldier, Falcon, Thunderbolt Ross. I mean – It's got everything going on, and apparently Spider-Man's going to make an appearance. Black Panther shows up in the trailer, which is the first appearance of Black Panther in the MCU. So it's got a lot going on in that trailer.
Supposed to have Ant-Man as well, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming probably Ant-Man, probably Vision as well. I think the only ones that's not supposed to be in it is Thor. Oh, yeah. I don't think Thor's going to be in it, and
right. Thor and Hulk.
Hulk is not supposed to be in it. Yeah,
right? Yeah, they're supposed to be doing something else.
So.
Okay, so you've read the Civil War comic, yes?
Yes.
This, like, some of that series?
Mm-hmm.
So what, and so, I mean, I read some stuff online when it came out. I didn't watch it, but I read, which kind of points to where my mind's at these days. So you've read the comics, and I read some stuff online. I didn't watch the video or the trailer, but I read about it a little bit because that's what I've been is reading a lot. So I just kept that going. Read that some people were, I don't say they were upset that it wasn't following kind of the comic or the line, but it looks like the division is mainly coming from Bucky. And some people seem hesitant about that. I want to know what kind of you thought having read the comic and
I mean, so
watch the trailer, kind of what we're looking
it's
at.
It's practically impossible for it to really follow the comic based on the way that the MCU has kind of built itself. And for all intents and purposes, the storyline of Civil War in the comic books isn't the greatest. It's okay, but it has some really boneheaded storylines that go on. I mean, obviously Civil War was a huge, like, entire Marvel universe encompassing. There was, you know, it tied into like 50 different comic lines. There was all these little side stories and stuff. So there was a lot going on there, and a lot of characters got involved in it. Obviously there won't be that many in the MCU. Plus in the MCU, secret identities really aren't as much of a thing, if at all a thing, with characters, specifically because most of the characters don't need them or have them. And there haven't been like the Spider-Mans and the people who their secret identities are a big deal. But in the trailer, I think they definitely show that Bucky is definitely a part of it, and there's some things that obviously I think something happens that he gets blamed for. But in that opening sequence when Thunderbolt Ross, who apparently in the movie now is now from like the Hulk, is now like Secretary of State, shows up, he throws that document on the floor, and during the tag of Ant-Man with Bucky and Falcon and Cap, they made the mention to the Accords. It was called I can't think of it now. What's the name of the country? The Sokovia Accords. So I think it's more tied to the Ultron thing, but maybe Bucky has a little bit to do with it. But it's a Captain America movie, and if they need to use him to drive the story, I mean, I'm fine with it, but I think there's a lot more to it than just Bucky being the reason why the Civil War happens. But the storyline of the comic books, with it being government-mandated registration and, like, turning over your secret identity to the government, I mean, obviously, I don't think would work in the current MCU, so they had to do something different. I mean, I feel like
everybody knows their secret identities already.
Yeah, I think the big thing is just the division of ideologies between Iron Man and Captain America, and then who takes what side, so. But we'll see.
Yeah. Aaron, what'd you think of it?
Well, I think it's another Marvel movie that of all the Marvel movies that they've been making lately, though, I think this one will be better than, well, let's just say I think it might be good, but it looked super dramatic. That's all. I don't know.
It's Captain. I mean, I think that's where the Captain America movies really fit in. Mm. They'll have that bit of humor, but they're all pretty serious.
You don't want no drama in your Captain America movie.
I don't, I mean, like, overly dramatic and sentimental, like, blah, blah, gross, just, like, over the top, sappy, and manipulative. I don't know, don't ask me my opinions on Marvel movies, just don't. Maybe afterwards I'll say whether I like it or not. I mean, Captain America is definitely my favorite of all of the films that they churn out.
Yeah. Even though it's sappy and dramatic and.
No, the preview looks that way. The preview looks like it's going to be over the top and like. Bleh. That's the only word that I have for it. Bleh.
Okay. I mean, it's the same guys who did Winter Soldier, so same director.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's, I don't know.
But don't make her say that she didn't like it, Tyler. We should quit while we're ahead.
Yeah.
She just said Captain America was her favorite of all the Marvel movies, and now she's about to say she didn't like Winter Soldier?
No, that's not what I was saying. I was just, I just don't have expectations, okay? That's all. Don't ask my opinion. I suck at predicting.
So next, because tomorrow it will have aired by the time this goes up. But tomorrow night, we're recording on Tuesday. This goes up on Friday. Tomorrow night, they're going to reveal the full trailer for. I mean, at this point, I don't know what you call this trailer. The theatrical trailer, I guess, is officially what they're called, of Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. Should we ask you your opinion about that after it comes out?
But I have an opinion now, and that's that I'm going to love it because it's Batman, period. And I don't care what else anybody else thinks. I don't care if it's going to be a crap movie. I'm going to love it because it's Batman. That's all I have to say about that.
And because it's Ben Affleck as Batman?
Oh, don't even. This is going to be awesome. Thank you. Thank you for putting pictures in my head of Ben Affleck as Batman. It's going to be great.
Did you see the teaser for the trailer that came out yesterday?
No,
you get to actually see Ben Affleck in the costume and then like have the cowl ripped off and then see.
Oh, do they rip off more than just the cowl?
No, just the cowl.
Okay. I bet they rip off more in the actual movie, in the full length movie.
Only in your head. Only
Adam,
in your,
you want to see that?
Only in your special fan fiction.
I don't know where I all of a sudden liked Ben Affleck because he used to suck real bad. But
first of all, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He was the bomb in Phantom Show.
You just said that just for that, didn't you?
No, because he was. What was one thing not including Geely that he was bad in?
Every
and I think Geely gets
thing,
a bad rap.
Every single thing.
Give me a specific example.
Bounce.
What the fuck? Which one is that one?
It was where he was in it with Gwyneth Paltrow.
He did a lot of bad movies.
Really bad. What are some of the other movies he was in? Let's see. Wasn't he in that movie called Pearl Harbor or something? Yes. Was he in Pearl Harbor?
You can't blame that atrocity on just his shoulders.
Okay, but every single movie
he was picked
in
a lot of bad
before
movies.
The town, before he started directing, they all sucked.
No.
Good Will Hunting.
That is, okay, you're right. That is the one movie that I will consider to him.
Chasing Amy.
That was horrible. Especially the Kevin
What?
Smith.
Whoa.
Especially the Kevin Smith movies he was bad
Whoa.
In.
Whoa. Chasing Amy? You're going to shit on Chasing Amy?
I'm not shitting on Chasing Amy. I'm shitting on Ben Affleck. And don't get me wrong. I thought he was hot then, but I didn't think he's as hot as he is now because he's gotten better at acting. He sucked then.
Whew.
Did you see Mallrats?
Wow.
He was like...
He was in Mall... He had like two lines in Mallrats.
It was bad. He was the worst part of that whole movie.
Okay, no, because there was a lot of bad parts of Mallrats, and I love Mallrats, but he literally has like two scenes in that entire movie.
Hey, I call it like I see it. Ben Affleck used to be a bad actor, just like, you know, it's the same. People love Will Smith now. He used to be a bad actor.
No?
Like in the first three seasons of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, maybe.
Because the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was the shit.
But, like, he got pretty good pretty quick. And for a pretty long time.
Okay, and now I'm just thinking about it, and I'm going through Ben Affleck's like filmography, and there's definitely quite a few movies here that he was good in that were way before The Town. I'm going to go with...
The problem is that he has so many movies that were complete crap altogether.
Just
that
terrible.
Like even decent acting by him... Or good acting.
Yeah.
Not great acting, but good acting by him will go by the wayside because the movie's just awful.
He was amazing in Hollywoodland, the one where he plays George Reeves. He was really good in that. Changing Lanes. It's a little over the top, but I thought he was pretty good in that one. The one with Samuel L. Jackson.
I don't think I saw that one.
That one wasn't
Boiler Room.
Bad, but he definitely wasn't very good in that. Same thing. Wasn't bad.
Boiler Room, pretty good.
He held his own against Giovanni Ribisi.
Nah, Giovanni stole the show.
I mean, he was a character, a small character, but he was a character in one of my favorite movies of all time, Shakespeare in Love, as Ned Allen. Just killing
him. He was bad.
He was in that movie, wasn't he?
No, he was awesome.
No, he was, what is wrong with you guys? You guys are
he did exactly what he was supposed to be.
He was bad.
You just really wanted to dislike him.
He can't even do a British accent. You guys are seriously defending Ben Affleck from Shakespeare in Love when he was horrible. Since what did Adam say?
Says a lady who also can't do a British accent.
It's true.
I can totally do a British accent.
No.
Moving on from whatever we got off onto Ben Affleck land. So box office for the weekend, Hunger Games looks like it won again.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to look. I don't even remember. We're
talking end of Fantasy Movie League as well.
I guess we can talk about that too. But yeah, Hunger Games won again. Good Dinosaur did get second, so it beat out Creed with a solid almost $40 million. So Hunger Games, Good Dinosaur, Creed, Spectre, Peanuts, Night Before. I did see Creed, so it was very good.
What'd you think?
Yeah. It was a very good movie. It was almost a better movie, if not a Rocky movie. Like, it was a Rocky movie. I wanted to see more of the not Rocky part of the movie. Not that Sylvester Stallone in any way was bad in it. He was fantastic playing, like, you know, the older Rocky. Like, he's playing the Mick role now, obviously. But I wanted more of Michael B. Jordan character's story and the girl. I wanted more of that. But it was pretty awesome. And it was a Rocky movie. There's training montages and soliloquies about how boxing is a metaphor for life, and it was everything that you want out of a Rocky movie. It's probably one of the best Rocky movies in a while, but it also works as a not Rocky movie. But the big surprise is I also saw over the weekend Spotlight, the one about the reporters at the Boston Globe who broke the Catholic Church sex scandal, and it's fantastic. Like, it's really, really good. I mean, it's up there. It's not quite on the same level.
Buzz good?
What's that?
Definitely award buzz good.
If there was an award, so I would watch out for something like Screen Actors Guild, where they give out the kind of awards for best ensemble, because no one's really taking the lead in it. Like, no one's really like the main character, just because of the structure of the movie. But between Liev Schreiber, Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, Mark Ruffalo, I mean, all the people in it, like Stanley Tucci, John Slattery. I mean, everyone in it is just, everyone is killing it in their little roles. But it's very, it's not on the same level, but if you're making a list of like movies that realistically depict like what it is to, and this has been written many times by people who've seen it, like to realistically work in a newspaper room or do realistic reporting, like it's up there in the same category as like All the President's Men with, you know, reading through reams of newspaper clippings and research and knocking on doors and making phone calls and following up on tips and stuff. Like, it's really good. So I really, really enjoyed it. But Tom McCarthy, the director,
nice,
did some work there. So I would not be surprised to see it. We were talking earlier before we went on that, the National Board of Review released its list of best picture, all its best picture and awards for the year. And while they gave Mad Max Fury Road their Picture of the Year award, Spotlight definitely made their top 10. So I would recommend anyone who gets a chance goes and sees it. So
very nice. What is that top 10? Since you brought it up, let's go.
So obviously, National Board of Review released their they're usually one of the early ones to release their yearly awards, and almost every single movie, with the exception of Star Wars, has been screened for most critics now towards out the end of the year. So top 10 for the year after Mad Max Fury Road, in no particular order: Bridge of Spies, Creed, The Hateful Eight, Inside Out, The Martian, Room, Sicario, Spotlight, and Straight Out of Compton. So a lot of surprise, I think, in their list. They definitely gave Matt Damon Best Actor honors for The Martian, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming with some of the performances that were out there. Brie Larson got Best Actress for Room. Sylvester Stallone, they gave Best Supporting Actor for Creed, which I don't think anyone saw that one coming. Jennifer Jason Leigh for Hateful Eight, Best Supporting Actress. Couple other ones out there, but they did give... They also give out a Best Ensemble, and they actually gave it to The Big Short, which is the financial one coming up with, like, Steve Carell and... I'm trying to think who else is in it. Christian Bale. There's quite a few people in it, so...
Nice, yeah. So, I mean, we're coming up that time of year when all those awards, or at least all the, some of the nominations start dropping, or where the I guess the studios hold what they think are going to be their award show, like their big award movies to the end of the year. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, I think there was a lot of surprises there, but they definitely threw quite a few awards at The Martian and at The Hateful Eight. So we'll see. National Board of Review definitely is not always in the norm when it comes to awards. So they a lot of times go off the beaten path. So they're not a great indicator for, you know, Golden Globes or Oscars and stuff like that, but it's still a barely, they're respected awards. So, but they're definitely not surefire bets in an award season race. So just something to keep in mind, but there's still, it's still a big honor. National Board of Review, it's a fairly respected award to get. So,
yeah, I loved Mad Max, and I don't expect the Academy or the Golden Globes to really, like, gush over it.
Throw anything non-technical at it.
Right, yeah. Just, I mean, it's got to get something for the practical effects. Like, it's just ridiculous what they're able to do. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe actors, but there's just not enough lines for even the acting to get a big nod, I don't think, even.
So while we're touching on box office, we should probably just knock it out real quick before I'm upset that Iggy's not here for me to gloat at, but we did finish the fall season as of last week. The fall season of the Fantasy Movie League for Project Nerd has ended. We had Sarah in seventh place with $116 million. Aaron in sixth place with $401 million. Adam in fifth with $828. Jared made a strong showing in the back half.
And he closed that year out good, yeah.
To finish at 830, with also never winning a week, he made a really strong showing. 830 in fourth place, and at 864 in third place, Iggy at $910 million, almost $911 million, to finish in second place, and your champion, yours truly, at $986 million. Super upset I didn't break a billion.
You didn't get that $1 billion.
If
yeah.
If I hadn't not
set take that week off, yeah.
If I hadn't taken that weekend off to move, I think I could have broken $1 billion. I'm a little upset about it. So,
congratulations.
But it is now. I am now the truncated spring season. I was also the champion. Fall season, legitimate champion. So, I need you guys to step your game up. Get some more people to join on the Project Nerd team so that we can make this. Make this a little bit more of a fight in the award season. So this week, no time off. Season three starts now. So game on. Anyone have any idea what they're going to go with? Because there's really nothing new that opens this weekend, with the exception of, I'm trying to think what, Krampus, I guess.
We said Krampus was the biggest opening, yeah.
And The Letters opens this weekend, but it's pretty much still down to like Hunger Games, Good Dino, Creed, I think, are still going to be your top three this weekend. So
probably, yep. Yep, nope. I haven't said anything yet, but looking at it, looks like it's just going to be a tough week leading into Star Wars. And I guess, you know, a tough couple of weeks, I guess, leading into Star Wars. And I'm really interested to see what they do with that. And my guess is they just don't even put it on the board. Just, you got to fill your theater with not Star Wars.
Yeah.
And that would, I think that would make it really challenging, at least for that first weekend.
Mm. Or that,
are you excited for the new year?
You can choose between Star Wars and The Field. Like, will Star Wars make more money than every other movie at the box office that weekend?
Yes. I don't know who would not pick Star Wars. Aaron, you excited? You going to play the third season?
I'm going to play, but I'm kind of loose.
Are you going to play for real, or are you going to, like, set your lineup once every other
third No, weekend? I set it for 7 weeks in a row, and then I dropped off. I missed one, and then I was like, I'll just keep sucking. So
this you're like
Ronco. This is not the Ronco foodie hider. You can't set it and forget it, Aaron. You got to do it every week. Okay.
You're like that guy in fantasy football, everyone's fantasy football league that they hate, who like gets all in hardcore and then like doesn't set his lineup for 3 weeks and, you know, has a quarterback that blew out his knee in week two, like still starting in week 14. Do you still have Jamal Charles in your lineup? Is that what's going on right now?
You got me.
That was a metaphor that she may not have got.
No, I did. I totally got it. Because he's like an old player or something, probably.
Yeah, definitely didn't get it. Cool. Moving on. What else we got going on?
I've been reading a ton.
I like to hear that. Let's hear about what you have been reading, Mr. Adair.
Well, I've been on I work part-time, which allows me to play a lot of video games and read a lot, which is fantastic. So that's what I've been doing. I have been back into and reworking through some of the Dresden Files books. And I think I'm on...
I was muted, but I was giving fist pumps for you right there.
12. Yeah, I could see the fist pumps. I felt your excitement. And they're just really good. And I think what it is that the series and the style really fits Jim Butcher. And I don't know if that's so much because it's just a style he's very good at writing and a setting, I guess, and plot that really kind of lends to his writing style, or if he came up with this idea and it just grew into something and now it's like basically second nature to him. It seems like he has a firm grasp of the characters, their reactions, what they would do. That's my favorite thing about a good story, is that I can instantly not predict what each character is going to do, but totally believe that would be their reaction to the situation they're put in. So the world that they're dropped in, the world and they exist in, that really is what gets me for books and the Dresden Files. Certainly anything after like the third or fourth book, it's really where it seems like he kind of hit his stride, I think. And certainly by 8, 9, 10, 11, the books I just read the past month, really, really good. So Changes and Turncoat and I can't remember the one before that, but there are three or four books there right at 9, 10, 11, and 12. Or
White Knight is one of those.
Yeah. White Knight was very, very good. So, I mean, there's... Oh.
And right before Turncoat is... what is that one? I've got them all on the shelf over there. Let me look.
Cheater.
Skin Game, Small
Favors.
Yeah, Small Favors. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some really good, like, really good stories. And there, by that point in time, there's also just a ton of characters. And it's great because they're all so memorable, so that even though you only see them maybe once a book or once every other book for a little bit, or they're a big player in every third book, you really kind of remember who they are and you know who they are. And they're very, very good. I know Tyler talked about it before.
Yeah, the characters that he develops in his world that have taken on a life of their own, whether it's, you know, the big ones like Harry and Murphy and stuff like that, or even, you know, the ones that pop up here and there, like, you know, Butters and Sonya and
Hill. I mean, legitimately, like, characters that are in it for, like, seven pages every fourth book, but... It's such a memorable character that,
his fairy godmother, Leanne Zahid, or Mab, who becomes obviously a much bigger character. Thomas and just all of them. Mac, who maybe has said 10 words in the entire series, is an amazing character. And just all the weird little ones who like don't even say things, like the henchmen that follow Marconi around. You know, he's given all nicknames to, and you know them when. Uh-huh. Hendrix and Engard and stuff like that. I'm a huge fan of the book, but I will say that he definitely grew into that series. Like that was his first series and you can tell him picking up his stride, but he definitely has other I guess, tools in his toolbox. He has another series that he started and finished while the Dresden Files was going on called Codex Alera. That's a much more high fantasy series. That's very fun. 5 books long. Starts with Furies of Calderon, if anyone's interested. And then he just started a new series that came out this fall called the Cinder Spires. And it's a steampunk, you know, flying airships and crystals and magic and talking cats. And there's a lot going on in there, and it's pretty good. So I can't recommend Jim Butcher enough. So, and if you enjoy Jim Butcher, if you like that kind of contemporary, urban fantasy is what some people call the genre, contemporary fantasy.
I think that works, right?
There's some other authors out there that I would definitely check out. Kim Harrison's The Hollow series is a really good one. Kevin Hearn's The Iron Druid series is a super fun one. I feel really bad now, but I'm blanking on the author's name. But the Mercy Thompson series. Mercy. Yeah, type it in. Patricia Briggs. I don't know why I couldn't come up with that. Patricia Briggs' Mercy Thompson series is another one that's in that kind of urban fantasy series. I mean, urban fantasy niche. That's really fun. I'm trying to think. There's a bunch of
them. Like, that'd be a really good way for folks who aren't into high fantasy necessarily to kind of start reading, I don't want to say more hard fantasy, but maybe high fantasy, like as an entry level to it, because it exists in a world where you're kind of familiar with things. Like it could be happening outside right now. Like it's modern time. So
yeah, I mean,
to me, it makes it really.
Dresden is the best entry drug because, I mean, he is a wizard who deals with fairies and vampires and werewolves and zombies, but at the same time, he has an office and has to pay rent and carries a .38 in his duster pocket and yellow pages and has to deal with the cops and the coroner and crime bosses and his car breaking down. So, I mean, you get both worlds, and I think it really is fun. And a lot of those series, it takes place today in Chicago.
Chicago.
I mean, is there as good as Changes is, and a Changes is, I still think, I mean, there's been some really good stuff that's come down the pipe since Changes, but Changes is still my favorite book by far in the series, just because it is the definition of does what it says on the tin, because everything changes in that book. Is there a scene in the series up till now that is better than Harry, Butters, and Sue making their charge into downtown Chicago during the All Hallows?
No, there is definitely none. And I love, like, anybody who talks to him at the beginning of the next book is just like, really? Dinosaur? And he's like, hey, I suppose it was available to me. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, I've never read an entire book from that series, but I've read a short story.
Which one?
It was in... So, Tyler, you gave me a book to borrow about 3 years ago, and it's a collection of short stories called, like, Songs of Love and Death.
Did I really?
Yeah. Have you been looking for it?
I mean, I definitely moved a lot of books, and I've noticed I have some missing, but I know where most of them are.
I've got one of your books, too.
Adam has side jobs. I'm pretty sure one of my copies of Lamb is in Denver, I'm pretty sure, and one's in Boston.
I don't have a copy of your Lamb. We gave that back.
I have like 3 copies of Lamb because that's one of those books I give to everybody and then it never makes it back.
It's a good book.
And some of my Gaiman books are in like Iowa somewhere. Huh. For volume one of Sandman and my Preludes and Nocturnes short story collection, those are both in Iowa. Any attraction? Well, I mean, I buy physical books to give them to people. I have some of your books on my shelf too. It's okay.
Really?
Yeah. Like that English language, like style guide one, a couple of those older.
Oh, I need that back. I want that.
I have them.
I use that thing on like a daily basis so I can remember my language origins of the English language.
Yeah, I definitely have it on the shelf over here.
It helps me with my British accent.
No, I mean, you definitely need it.
It helps you with your British accent. You need to spend a lot more time with it.
But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely have become. I at first was not a huge fan of the concept of the urban fantasy, but I think too many people hear urban fantasy or contemporary fantasy and they think, you know, Twilight. But there's a lot more, you know, out there that's good. And some of it's cheap and terrible and still super fun. There's a series called, I don't so much so because it's still weird and crazy, but the Nightside series by Simon R. Green. Simon R. Green does some really interesting stuff with, I think, contemporary fantasy. And they're by no means high literature, but they're hella fun. So I enjoy them. So
I don't have any problem with reading a book purely for enjoyment. Like, it's honestly, if I'm spending the time reading, I have to be enjoying it. Sure, there are those books that you have to read, you know, 1984 and stuff like that, where they can even be, you know, I would say Brave New World is fairly dry in terms of its.
Brave New World is a trudge, but it's still so good.
And I think it's a phenomenal book, right? Yeah. But then there are books like Files books and even Ready Player One that are just, these books are just super fun.
Yeah. I'll read just about anything as long as you are a decent writer, like a good writer, because there's plenty of stuff out there that's just, I think, is badly written, but you don't have to have the most beautiful prose in the world. Now, there's a lot of authors that write, you know, some higher fantasy and stuff that I think, like, their prose is on another level, but I don't need that. But I need you to be able to put two sentences together and not use the same word over and over again and tell a decent story that holds together.
Right. Yeah. If I read four chapters and you've picked one word from the thesaurus and you've used it in all of those chapters, like a word that doesn't need to be used there, like you could just say what you need. You have to use that thesaurus word.
It's so jarring.
It is. It just pulls you right out of it. I'm like, oh, nope, I'm done with this book. Moving on to something else.
At the same time, I'm a sucker for the really out there, high fantasy, totally world built on another planet kind of thing, you know?
Is that a genre, high fantasy?
I mean, high fantasy, typically, when you talk high fantasy, you're talking like your Tolkien's, your Wheel of Times, your Stormlight Archives, like your, that's what you, sword and sorcery and dragons and huge mythos and stuff like that is typically what you say, high fantasy.
Oh.
I mean, when you start to talk about genres in sci-fi, fantasy, speculative fiction, it gets a little heated because people don't like to put labels on a lot of the stuff, but at the same time, like, there are some generally accepted tropes that, like, this is what this is and this is what that is, or these things go well together. Because there's a whole big thing in, like, not, I don't want to say low fantasy, but darker or realistic fantasy, like the Joe Abercrombie's, where it's definitely a fantasy world, but there's no, you know, beautiful happy endings for everyone. Like, literally everyone in the book is a terrible human being. Or Glenn Cook in the Black Company. Like, there's no good endings. There's no good people. It's all just bad and terrible and mucky and bloody and terrible. So. And then alternate history, weird stuff. Like those, a series I was reading recently, The Thousand Names, where the Shadow Company series, where the book is definitely got magic and demons and other stuff, but it also has gunpowder. So it's like the setting is a little bit twisted. The Powder Mage series is similar to that, where you've got some of the high fantasy elements, but at the same time, you've got a little bit higher level of technology than you would expect from your typical fantasy book, but it's not modern day. So
high fantasy only really deals with, like, everything being total fantasy, and it has to be like in a land.
It's hard to ever, and when you talk about like a genre or something and say blank only does blank, like, you know.
It's hard because I studied literature and you're throwing out all these terms that, like, I've never heard of high fantasy ever, and I have an English degree, but then you're telling me not to put it
when
in
you,
a box.
I mean, when you say high, okay, if I'm going to put it in a box, high fantasy is defined by one of two things. Either A, it is set in an imaginary world that has a very defined, you know, it's a built world with a mythos and a whole thing, or it's defined by the epic stature of its, like, characters and its themes and its plots. Like, you know, Tolkien, it's this huge, different world, big, big themes, big plots, epic storylines and stuff like that. Same thing with Wheel of Time, same thing with, like, Sanderson's The Stormlight Archive. Like, they're these, it's not in our world, it's in a different world that's been very meticulously built, but the themes, the characters, the plot are these big epics. That's, like, really high fantasy.
This is creepy, Tyler. What? Creepy. You just basically, so I was Googling high fantasy as you said it, and you basically spouted off the definition of high fantasy. So, good job.
Okay.
You should be an honorary professor
I read a lot of fantasy and sci-fi books.
that's why I say, I mean, if there's anything I can agree with you on, you have the best taste in books there are.
But if you want to, like the gold standard when people say high fantasy is Lord of the Rings. Like that's the gold standard of like that's what people think of when they think. Some of the Terry Brooks' stuff, like the Shannara books, that would be kind of high fantasy. I would even say the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis would be definitely considered high fantasy.
What about The Last Unicorn, the 1970s film?
Well, the book The Last Unicorn is fantastic, but it's a little too small in scope, I think, to be high fantasy, but maybe high fantasy.
Oh, yeah, because you did mention that part about it having to be like epic.
Typically they are. If not epic, they're spanning. Like, it's not just this little snippet of a thing that happens in a place.
Because that's technically, we can't use that word to help define high fantasy. Because then it's an epic.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. High fantasy always has its place, but sometimes it can be a little,
daunting.
Yeah. Exhausting. Some of the recent ones that have Song of Ice and Fire, that would definitely be high fantasy. It's definitely a darker take on it, but that's definitely a high fantasy series. The Malazan Books of the Fallen would be a recent one that's a very dense, like heavy high fantasy. I mentioned The Wheel of Time, the Robert Jordan series is definitely high fantasy. The Sword of Truth, which I don't want to talk about The Sword of Truth, but that would be considered high fantasy, I guess. I had such high hopes for those books and just stopped.
And then they just went downhill. Oh, yeah. But after like the fourth book, it was like utter trash.
House of the Winds is the last one I remember reading that I kind of enjoyed. And I don't even know if I really enjoyed it that much. Like,
wasn't that the sixth book?
House of the Winds. I don't know. I made it a long ways. I made it deep. Like, I stuck with it, and I was angry. Like, I was trudging through some of those last couple books. Faith of the Fallen, I think, is the last one I actually finished. And then I bought Pillars of Creation and got, like, maybe a chapter in and just got angry and, like, threw it away.
I told you how that one ended. They rode off into the sunset.
I mean, it didn't need that many books to get there. Because Faith of the Fallen was literally one of the most painful experiences in my life, was reading Faith of the Fallen.
Well, he started to interject a lot of personal
He tried to write Atlas Shrugged in a fantasy setting. No, I know. He wanted to be Ayn Rand of the fantasy world. I don't want to knock on an author on our podcast, but wow, that series fell off the rails.
I don't think he really gives a shit. He's raking in the dough on all of his.
Sure. Movies. I mean, that one became a TV series, so, and he definitely made money, so.
And Katrina Law, who we recently met, was one of the Mord Sith. I didn't know that.
She really?
Yeah. I was looking at her table and I was like, you're a Mord Sith. And she was a little busy, but her husband saw me freak out on her Mord Sith a little bit hard.
Fantastic. So I read a little bit this last weekend too, because I was sick. And I read all the books in a series called, what was the name of the series? I don't even remember. Rachel Bach wrote them. The first one's called Fortune's Pawn. I remember the three names of the books. Fortune's Pawn. No. Maybe. Heaven's Queen is the third one. Honor's Knight is the second one. And Fortune's Pawn is the first one. The name of the series is escaping me now.
Is it something chess related?
The Paradox Trilogy. There it is. The Paradox Trilogy. Sci-fi. Main character is a kick-ass chick named Devi, who's off in space just kicking ass in her powered armor, and it's pretty solid. I didn't realize until I opened the first book that Rachel Bach, who wrote it, is also Rachel Aaron, who wrote the Eli Mon Press books, which I really enjoyed, which I thought were a lot of fun, which were more of a fantasy, but these were definitely sci-fi. But I enjoyed them quite a bit. And then I just started Brandon Sanderson's newest book in his Mistborn series, Shadow of Self, and it's been pretty good so far. The follow-up to Alloy of Law. So if anyone's into those, it's a good pickup.
I'm definitely into that.
Do you know who Brandon Sanderson is?
Nope.
You can borrow some of his books. I have quite a few of them.
Well, thanks. I mean, it's dangerous lending them to me. I'm like a black hole of death for books. I mean, I remember whose they are. Who they belong to? Yep. Thanks.
There you go.
Words.
I don't know. What's else? Anyone else? Have you been reading anything, Aaron?
You know what I just finished? I just finished the fourth book in the Tiffany Aching series. And I can't remember what it's
called. Are you reading them in like backwards now? Or have you started?
No. So I started with the third one. And then I went to the second one. And then the first one.
Okay.
And then I just read the very last one, the fourth one.
Not the very last one.
It said it was the last one. It said it was the last book he'd written.
And that's the fifth one. Shepherd's Crown is the fifth one that just came
out. Yeah, that's what I read. I read The Shepherd's Crown.
We Free Men.
Okay.
Hatful of Sky.
Oh, I didn't. I skipped that one then.
What?
I didn't know about that one.
We Free Men, Hatful of Sky, Wintersmith, I Shall Wear Midnight, and then, or is Wintersmith, and then I Shall Wear Midnight, and then Shepherd's Crown. You need to read Hatful of Sky. That's a really good one.
I don't know why I forgot the titles. It's just, it's hard because since it doesn't like say Tiffany Aching, book one, book two, book three, it doesn't say it anywhere on the book. You just have to know
the internet title. Will help you.
You stop with your...
See, the problem with Shepherd's Crown is Shepherd's Crown is a really good Tiffany Aching book.
It's so good.
And it's so bittersweet. But for me, it was another level because the character, Granny Weatherwax, is a huge character in the regular Discworld series.
Like, really?
She shows up in like...
Are you serious? You
know, Granny Weatherwax is the main character of like six or seven of the main... Discworld series. She's a side character in Tiffany Aching, but she has like the third book in the Discworld series ever, Equal Rights. She's like the main character of. And then her and Nanny Ogg, the two of them are main characters of multiple different Discworld books. There's an entire series that's referred to as like the Witches series, which is a... Because every, like, there's groups of characters in the Discworld that kind of have their books themselves, like the City Watch, like Rincewind, like the Witches. And there's probably five or six books in the series that are just about basically Granny Weatherwax and Nanny Ogg and them going off and doing crazy awesome things.
Awesome. I want... okay, thanks. I need to read more of these things.
There's only, like, 50 of them, so... Mm. Got a good start.
Can I tell you the one other book that I'm just finishing right now? And what's I don't want to finish it. It's called Static. It's the new book by Eric Laster, who we met at Denver Comic Con. He's just recently started writing his own books. He was a ghostwriter for several years, and I got a screener copy of his book, so it'll be available for purchasing in April, and you can start pre-ordering like in February. But
why don't you want to finish it?
It's so good, and I don't want it to end, and I'm worried about what's going to happen in the last few pages. But I have, like, 15 pages left, and, I mean, granted, it's definitely, like, I probably wouldn't have picked it up. I wouldn't have chosen it because it's for teenagers. It's for, like, you know, maybe 15 and up, and it's directed at boys, and it covers a lot of teenage...
Sounds like it's right up your alley.
Ew! No, especially because if you knew what the content was, there's a lot of sexual content, so it's kind of gross to me. But
that sounds like a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of helps you get into the mind of a young man a little bit and help me empathize a little bit. But it was a really good story. Just a lot of talks about boners is all. That's all.
And them boys have been in my trailer whacking it.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
But anyway.
No, okay. So Tyler, I got a couple questions to ask you about book series and sequels.
Okay.
When are we getting the third Justin Cronin book? The 12, and then
I have no idea. I haven't heard anything about Justin Cronin in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know these things.
Right.
I know that the book is called City of Mirrors, and I'm pretty sure it's supposed to come out next year.
Okay.
But I don't know that for sure.
What about the sequel to Red Rising and Golden Sun?
That one is called...
That's this year. It's
Morningstar, and that's like...
2 months.
That's soonish, right? Like February or something, right?
January. Because I think the last two both came out in January, too. So Morningstar we should definitely get in January.
Nice.
What other ones? So the next book in the Gentleman Bastard series for anyone, Scott Lynch's new books, The Thorn of Imberlane is supposed to come out. I can't think when. Soon. He definitely read parts of it at World Fantasy Con recently or some convention. So there's a bunch of new books. The sequel to The Rook is also supposed to come out, I think, January or February. I really enjoyed Daniel O'Malley's book, The Rook, that came out a couple years ago that I really enjoyed, which is another kind of interesting, I can't really describe it, but contemporary sci-fi fantasy, weird out there book. The sequel to that one is Stiletto, and that's going to come out in June of this year. But yeah, January we should get Morningstar. There's quite a few books coming up in the new year that I'm super looking forward to. So well, let me see my wish list usually has Morningstar. Morningstar. Oh, no, it's got bumped. So Morningstar is February 9th now. So not January.
Okay.
Stiletto got bumped. It's now June of 2016.
Nice. All right. So I don't know if we should talk about something other than books. I feel like if we don't, that's totally cool, but Iggy will never let us have another podcast without him.
Yeah, Iggy, so. We're in so much trouble. Iggy, you're listening to this and you're like, you guys and your dank books.
People like books.
People do like books. We like books for sure.
We love books. Let's just do just this from now on. Let's just rebrand the bookcast.
I mean, I'm totally willing to do that. Like each week we're just going to talk about books. A new author and why you should be reading their books.
Let's talk movies because then you'll be wrong.
I mean, I don't know about that. I honestly, I'm trying to get into movie mode, but as it gets closer and closer, I have one thing and one thing only on my mind, and that is Star Wars. And then Star Wars again, and then probably Star Wars a third time. I already have my tickets to see it on the 17th, at the first showing. I have the physical ticket in my possession, and I will probably need to buy another ticket after that.
I don't think anyone who listens to this podcast would feel the same, but I've been coming across people in the civilian world, and by civilian, I mean not into the nerd culture, and they're saying things like, I don't really care about Star Wars except the original.
There's plenty of people who say that. There's a lot of people that's probably only ever seen the original three, but then there's also people who've only ever seen the prequels. I know a lot of kids who'd only ever seen the newest ones. So,
well, at the same time, someday they'll watch the old ones and they'll love it as well. But how can people say that they don't like the new ones? I for one, really appreciate them. I know that Anakin was not very good.
There's a lot of diehard Star Wars fans who would like to pretend the prequels never happened. And that they don't exist.
Okay, so there are people listening to this podcast who just really hate the prequels.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who really, really, really hate
them. Yeah, but they're still looking forward to this new one. They're still wetting their
pants over. Because we're junkies for this shit, and we don't care. It's more Star Wars.
Right, they could literally...
I'm trying to think of an analogy.
And they could put on The Phantom Menace, and I'd be like, damn it. But I wouldn't leave.
The worst Star Wars movie. I'm trying to think of an analogy that I could wrap my head around. That you could wrap your head around this. The worst blowjob is still a blowjob. There's no such thing as a bad blowjob. There's a really good blowjob, and even a bad blowjob you still got a blowjob. That's a win.
I normally go with pizza.
Even a really bad pizza.
So you're still eating pizza.
Yes, this is more universal because for someone who does not have a penis,
and because we're Star Wars fans, there's a chance that it might be really good. You don't know. It could.
There's going to be lightsabers. Somebody's probably getting force choked.
There's going to be some John Williams music. There's going to be some TIE fighters and some X-Wing shooting each other. There's going to be some lightsabers.
And there's going to be some Carrie Fisher.
There's going to be some Wilhelm screams. Someone's going to probably say that they have a bad feeling about something. Things are going to happen, and we're all super pumped about them.
I'm going to... Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. No, it's...
The nostalgia is strong. And they're milking the nostalgia out of this marketing campaign, like, in a big, big way. And I totally don't give a shit. Like,
oh, if somebody knows how to milk nostalgia, it's definitely Disney. Like, they...
Well, they released...
That's their bread and butter.
They released all those new posters, those movie posters that are straight-up remakes of the original posters. And it gets me right where it counts. Like, I'm totally on board with everything that's going on.
Hmm. Well...
And how...
That was a good discussion. I think we should have a whole podcast dedicated, like, in the maybe next week. Let's just have a Star Wars podcast.
We should do it next week. Not we should do the week after next.
Okay,
because the week after next, that podcast that we make will go up on basically the day it comes out, that 17th, 18th. This was not a very special episode. This is just a normal episode. Talk some books.
It's a normal episode of us.
Hey, you know, we didn't talk about, awesome. Like, let's tag on right at the end. We didn't talk about, you guys have now, since last week, seen at least a few, I'm a little disappointed you haven't seen all of, but you have seen some of
Jessica Jones.
How we feel.
I said it first. I'm going to go ahead and start here and say, I really freaking love the show. It has Tyler, have you not seen any?
I watched all of it.
Oh, that's right.
He was done last week. Oh, that's
right. Yeah, but what about that beginning theme music? Let's start at the very beginning. What does it remind you of?
The problem is I binge watched it, so I only heard the theme music like twice.
Only got the theme music once, and then once when you stopped in the middle to go to the bathroom and get some ice cream.
Yeah, so I heard the theme music on episode like one. I heard the theme music on episode like six, and then I heard the theme music on episode nine. So I think I heard the theme music like three times.
It's very... Like,
because Netflix just skips time, that though. Shit when you binge it.
Yeah, but you hear it one time, and it's very clearly just like the beginning theme song from Mad Men. And I love Mad Men so much. So for me, the very first time that I sat down and watched Jessica Jones and it sounded like Mad Men, I was like, whoa, I'm done. I'm sold. This is good. And then it just got better from there.
And I did enjoy the messages we got from Iggy about... Who the fuck is this guy? That's not Luke Cage. And then like 15 minutes later, okay, I like this guy. I'm on board.
Yeah, I appreciated that. No, so I mean, I have, you know, I've never read any of the Defenders or any of the individual comics to go along with them. Very much enjoying it. Really, really good story so far. I mean, it's written in such a way that I want to binge watch it, and you know, I know that's the intention and what they're trying to get done, but I really want to know what's going on and get my head around all the different moving pieces that are already there and only what, three or four episodes in, something like that. So I think they've done an amazing job. I'm interested to see though, they allude in the TV show. So they did it in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they do it in Daredevil and they do it. And again, in Jessica Jones, where they talk about the rest of the universe, like just in passing, they don't really, no one's made appearances except for like Agent Carter and stuff like that. The Netflix TV shows, Daredevil and Jessica Jones so far, are they going to pull those into the movies at all? Like, are we ever going to see those characters pop up? Even if it's just in like a walking through, or we're in New York and Jessica Jones and, you know, Murdoch are walking down the street or whatever, something like that.
Curious to see what they do, like once they've got that Defenders world really built with all four of the main characters, if there's any plans. I don't know if those characters fit in the MCU, if that makes sense. You know, if those are two very different, that street level Hell's Kitchen dark and dirty thing, it doesn't really fit with Avengers Tower and Captain America and that kind of stuff. So, but I think it'd still be cool to see, you know, just little references to it. So, but you guys are on board so far. You guys are both only through what, episode three?
Yeah.
So you haven't even gotten a good taste of Kilgrave yet. Like, you don't even know what's coming. Oh,
I don't even.
You start to get them in three, but it's always like
just little bits and pieces
shot from an angle behind him, so you don't really get him, and you just get that voice, man, and Tennant.
Ugh. Such
really,
voice.
Really good at being creepy.
Here in the next few episodes, you'll start getting a lot more of him, and it gets a lot more uncomfortable, I guess. Like, he is a very good villain. He might be the best villain Marvel's done to date. Better than Loki, better than Kingpin. I mean, saying that Marvel doesn't do villains well in their movies is not news to anyone. Like, that's been the weakest part of a lot of the movies that have come in the MCU. But I think Kingpin was a high point for them. Obviously, Loki has kind of been their touchstone for villains, but I think Kilgrave takes it up a notch.
I think Loki being their certainly the best movie villain, and he's not even like entirely a villain. Like, so it's, he does some bad things, but he's not, all right. Half the time he's working with them. So I don't know. I don't know if he really counts anymore.
Okay. So I guess now is the time to do final thoughts.
You got any, Aaron?
I'll lead us into that. Don't do this to me. You know, I hate it.
You said you were going to lead us into it. What do you got?
I will lead us into it by preceding the final thoughts with, hey, this is the final thoughts.
Aaron, what are your final thoughts?
Right. I think that you all, yeah, I don't freaking know. Just talk, guys. That's my final thoughts. I suck.
Ooh, I'll go. So we are talking on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
No, stop it. The 1st of December. And Destiny last month announced that they were going to be introducing challenge modes to their newest raid for the King's Fall raid. And that actually launched today. It was just kind of a surprise. So when you go to the King's Fall raid, it gives you a challenge. This week's challenge is to defeat the War Priest in 2 rotations. Fairly tough. You can do it on normal and you can do it on hard. But if you do it on normal, you're guaranteed a 310 drop. So that's pretty solid. And if you do it on hard, you're guaranteed a 320, what's it called? A 320 artifact for your character and another 320 piece of another 320 drop. So you get a 320 artifact and then a 320 drop on top of that.
That's serious business.
Yeah. So get 5 of your friends who are high light level over 310 and go do work on the War Priest this week and just farm it if you need to, because that is legit. Yeah. So that's my final thought.
Can you keep doing the challenge over and over again?
I don't know.
Or you just get to do it once.
So you get to the raid, you only get rewards the first time you do it, but I don't know about the challenges, what they're doing with those. I would assume, I guess just once, but you know, take all of your characters in there because it's totally worth it. And like I said, get 5 friends, turn it into a game if you want to, drink beer while you're playing. If you're over 21, have fun, have a good time with it.
All right, fine. I'll go. I don't know. I don't really have anything going on right now. Read more. What did we talk about? Obviously, Dresden Files. Pick it up. Check it out. Jim Butcher. First book in the series is called Stormfront. It's definitely worth your time. If you want to try something else in his series, Furies of Calderon or Aeronauts Windless, also Jim Butcher books are good.
Did anybody mention the fact that there's a brand new store associated with Project Nerd Publishing?
We didn't talk about Project Nerd at all, and I feel really bad because I even have the Barons Kickstarter pulled up here and was going to mention it and then totally forgot about it.
Well, there's a store
go
now.
Go, Aaron, go.
You can go to the Project Nerd Publishing store. Just go to projectnerd.com, click on the Project Nerd Publishing link, and then go to the Project Nerd store, and you can get there. It's or you can, you know, just shop the pnppublishing.storeenvy.com.
Nice final thought, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Indeed. So I guess that wraps it up for, what are we on, episode, season 5, episode 22, / Nerdcast 105. it's been fun. I think we got some good stuff. We covered some things. Iggy wasn't here to stink up the joint.
It's been informative.
Yeah. So I guess next week, guys, same nerd time, same nerd channel. Everyone have a good week, and thanks for listening to the Nerdcast.